Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY24 Sudarshan Chemical Industries earnings conference call hosted by Dolat Capital. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nitesh Dhoot from Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Muskan. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Dolat Capital, I would like to thank the management of Sudarshan Chemical Industries for giving us the opportunity to host their Q3 and nine-month FY24 earnings conference call. From the management team, we have with us today Mr. Rajesh Rathi, Managing Director, Mr. Neelkanth Natu, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Amey Athale, General Manager, Finance. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, post which we'll open the forum for a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Natu.
Thank you. Thank you, Dolat Capital and Mr. Nitesh Dhoot, for hosting our earnings call. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Sudarshan's Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. Our financial results and investor presentation have been uploaded on the stock exchanges for your ready reference. The company continues to deliver growth in revenue as well as improvement in EBITDA margin in Q3 FY24 as compared to the previous year. I will initiate the call by briefly taking you through the key financial highlights for the period under review, following which we will open the forum to have a question-and-answer session. Quarterly performance: on a consolidated basis for the quarter, total income from operations stood at rupees 566 crore as compared to rupees 528 crore for the same period last year, higher by 7% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 62 crore compared to rupees 42 crore in Q3 FY23, higher by 48%, and EBITDA margin is at 10.9% compared to 7.9% over the same period last year. Profit after tax is at rupees 15 crore as compared to rupees 1 crore for the same period last year. Nine-month performance: in nine months, the total income from operations stood at rupees 1,775 crore versus rupees 1,611 crore in the same period last year, a growth of 10%. EBITDA for the period is rupees 197 crore versus rupees 126 crore last year, higher by 56%, and EBITDA margin is at 11.1% versus 7.8% over the same period last year. PAT stood at rupees 54 crore compared to rupees 12 crore for the same period last year. Now, going into details of our pigment business: for the year, for the quarter FY24, income from operations stood at rupees 521 crore compared to rupees 483 crore for the same period last year, growth of 8%. On a sequential basis, revenue of Q3 FY24 has remained flat in comparison with Q2 FY24. India sales for the quarter is at rupees 278 crore, higher by 11% as compared to rupees 251 crore in the same period last year. On a sequential basis, India sales is marginally higher by 2% compared to rupees 272 crore in Q2 FY24. Exports for the quarter is at rupees 244 crore as compared to rupees 232 crore last year, higher by 5%. Q3 is a seasonally weak quarter for some of the international geographies, considering the calendar year-end and holiday season. On the international demand, we have seen it is a mixed bag where the EU region continues to have the subdued demand, whereas other geographies we have seen the moderated demand. We see the impact of destocking is nearing the closure, and we expect a demand revival from the international geographies. However, we remain vigilant towards these geographies considering the multiple geopolitical issues, inflationary pressure, and global macroeconomic situation. In the plastic segment, we are seeing improved demand while ink segment has remained stable in Q3 FY24. As mentioned during the last quarter, demand from the coating segment is expected to pick up in H2 FY24, and we are seeing uptick in the coating segment in Q3 of this year compared to the Q2 of FY24. Specialty pigment sales stood at Rs. 358 crore as compared to Rs. 340 crore for the previous year same quarter, 5% year-on-year higher. Non-specialty sales for the quarter is at Rs. 163 crore, which is higher by 14% as compared to the same period last year. We continue to witness positive response for our product offering from our recently completed CAPEX, resulting from continuous engagement with the customers. We are progressing well in terms of ramp-up from the new commissioned CAPEX. Gross margin of the pigment business for the quarter increased to 45.5% as against 40% for the same period previous year. Comparing with the sequential quarter, gross margins have gone up by 70 basis points. The increase in gross margin is due to improvement in the product mix and also due to some effect of time lag in selling price pass-through. We will continue to take our calibrated pricing decisions based on volume growth. During the quarter, we are seeing the stabilization in the raw material cost and coal prices as compared to the previous year. Evolving geopolitical environment can pose some uncertainty, which may have the impact on the crude prices and other intermediary prices, and we are evaluating those. With the better gross margins, EBITDA for the quarter stood at Rs. 69 crore in Q3 FY24 as compared to Rs. 38 crore for the same quarter previous year, higher by 82%. EBITDA margins stood at 13.3% compared to 7.8% over the same period last year. On sequential basis, EBITDA margin is higher by 50 basis points. In the 9 months, total income from operation from pigment business stood at 1579 crore versus 1486 crore in the same period last year, a growth of 6%. Gross margin has improved to 44.4% in 9 months ended December 23 as compared to 39.7% same period last year. EBITDA is at Rs. 200 crore versus 121 crore last year, and EBITDA margin is at 12.7% versus 8.1% over the same period last year. Now coming to the balance sheet. The balance sheet of the company as at December 31st, 2023 has strengthened with stable business operation, improvement in the EBITDA, effective working capital management, and funds received from monetization of the assets in Q1 FY24. Net debt of the company has reduced substantially to Rs. 434 crore in Q3 FY24 from Rs. 946 crore in Q3 FY23 and Rs. 445 crore in Q2 FY24. The reduction in debt has resulted in improving net debt to EBITDA to 1.5 times in Q3 compared to 4.5 times in Q3 of the last year. The working capital cycle has been effectively managed, thereby resulting into cash conversion days at 88 days in Q3 FY24 compared to 112 days in Q3 FY23. The current ratio has improved to 1.4 times in Q3 compared to 1.1 times in Q3 of the last year. ESG focus. Before we conclude management commentary, I would like to take this opportunity to highlight our ESG focus. We have formulated strategy toward key pillars of environmental responsibility, strengthening social inclusiveness, business accountability with continuous focus on manufacturing excellence. We believe that companies will get differentiated based on the ESG practices in coming years and our continued focus and sustainability journey with the concentrated effort will strongly position us globally. In our endeavor to achieve the benchmark performance on business practices and responsibility towards the environment, we have recently achieved silver medal certification from EcoVadis 2023, reaffirming the company's dedication to sustainable and responsible business practices. During the quarter, the company also received prestigious certification Ecotex. This certificate recognizes our and adherence to environmentally responsible manufacturing processes and the use of sustainable material in our products. To summarize, we believe the Indian pigment industry will benefit from continuing India growth story in global volatile environment. China Plus One, global customer de-risking theme, and consolidation of the leading industry player. However, we remain attentive and continue to be cautious to the geopolitical developments and global macroeconomic situation. Our long-term growth prospects remain intact. Given commissioning of the new products and positive response from the customers, availability of broader product portfolio, and geographical reach, we remain confident in our growth story and continue towards commitment to deliver long-term value to our stakeholders. With this, I now open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while question queue assembles. And the first question is from the line of Sandeep Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for taking my question. First, on the RICO side, just wanted to understand that this quarter also it's again in the red. Can you explain what's happening on the RICO side and how should we look at that part of business? We also earlier tried to divest that part of the business. Are we still pursuing that?
Hi, Sanjesh. Thanks for your question. Nilkant here. So during the current year and for the year YTD performance, we had seen the performance dip in the RICO business. And this was mainly due to the lower revenue in one of their segment grinding business and also the execution of one large order in another segment where we had seen the estimation shortfall and during the execution, the cost overrun. However, based on the current order book, which we have and order balance and the margin on that and the current projections, we remain confident that this business will turn around the performance in the coming quarter and we should see that in Q4 onwards.
So year end, Mr. Rajesh Rathi, so year end we expect RICO to deliver positive results.
Yeah.
In general, capital goods is seeing a significant order booking and all those things. Increased capex intensity in India is clearly helping that segment. Are we seeing the same trend in the RICO as well?
So some of the business segments are seeing a good order book. However, one segment is dragging it down from that perspective. And what we are asking the business to focus on is EBITDA margin rather than growth, right? So we are now focusing on more profitable growth in that segment.
Fair enough. Second, on the pigment side of the business, on the specialty pigment side, it's the third quarter where we have seen a sequential decline. And that's true for exports as well. Is it a correlation that the specialty is selling lower or exports is demand is lower and hence the specialty sales has also got impacted because of that? And how should we see the recovery from here? We have said that 2H will be better, but clearly 3Q is not showing that trend with sequentially flattish revenue. How should we see that?
Hi, Sanjesh. Nilkant here. So, as I mentioned in my commentary, typically the quarter three is seasonally the weak quarter for the export market. And, you know, the export market has been a mixed bag wherein the Europe region continues to, you know, the deliver the subdued demand there, whereas other geographies we are seeing the demand revival. In terms of the specialty, you know, segment also, while quarter on quarter it remains flattish, but what we had also seen in there is a moderation in the realization given softening of the raw material prices. So, while value wise you will see the moderation or maybe the flattish trend, but we are seeing a good traction in the volume side.
And to add to that, Mr. Rajesh Rathi, to add to that, if you see last year quarter to this quarter, I mean both on the margin side and on the growth side, it's been a very good quarter. And like Nathuji explained, even sequential quarters, we are seeing good traction on volume growth.
Can I just benefit to understand it better? Can you help us understand what was the volume growth and the realization mix in this to appreciate the performance?
So I think the volume growth has been in double digit numbers, and you know, we see a good attraction on demand continuing there.
This is on a year or year basis, right?
Yes.
Fair enough. One last question. Again, volumes, if I see YOY for the pigment exports out of India, they have grown at a very strong 20-25% on a low base. I could understand that in the October and November month data, whatever has been put in the exam, we appear to be lagging there. It's more of a commodity, so they are selling higher. Specialty in generally seeing a muted demand. Are we seeing some erosion in our market share? Any color there?
No, absolutely, we are not losing any market internationally. I have not looked at the figures you are talking about of 28%, but I think the industry in general, if you see the results of quite a few companies, the industry in general is not doing very well, whereas I think we've been able to deliver good results.
Fair enough, sir, fair enough. That's it from my side. Thanks for taking my question and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you, Sandesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question, you know, on the global demand outlook, any feedback you can share from the clients given we have been launching new products, any addition to the new customers across the geographies?
So, sir, this is Rajesh Rathi. I think we're getting good attraction on the new products, good engagement, and we continue to, you know, we continue to engage with customers. However, in general, the demand on the international side outside of India has been a mixed bag, where Europe is demand is still subdued. U.S., we are hoping that the demand destocking, which really happened in Q3, that effect is over, and you know, our Q4 would look much better in that perspective. And so I would say international general demand is a mixed bag. And our new CapEx phase, there's good engagement happening, sir.
Sure, Rajeji. And just a follow-up on that, you know, our earlier timelines of optimum utilization for this, the new CapEx that we have put in terms of revenue run rate over a 3 to 4 year window, any changes to that?
No, sir. I think like we said last time, we would still, you know, looking at this 4 years as our window. We will, and as we start ramping up, we will start looking at how we can reduce that window, but still, I would still give a guidance of 4 years. Yeah.
Great, sir. Second question on the RM deflation as well as, you know, the freight cost increase that we are seeing. If I heard it right, Natuji did mention in between that, you know, the pass-through of RM deflation is more gradual. And you mentioned double-digit volume growth here. What time frame should we look at in terms of full pass-through of this RM deflation? And secondly, on the freight cost front, any increase that we are seeing, and you know, will it be passed through, or can it impact our margins in the interim?
Ankur and Nilkant here. So, in terms of the RM prices getting stabilized or deflationary trend, what we see normally that it can take a quarter or two for full pass through, and as I mentioned in my call also, commentary also, that we will take that particular call based on the volume and the demand side, so that it should be a very calibrated approach. In terms of the freight cost, yes, we have seen the increase in the freight cost given now the Red Sea crisis, and our endeavor is to pass on this cost increases to the customer, while keeping our focus on delivering the goods to them. So this will be a calibrated approach there, but our endeavor is to pass on the cost increases to the customer, because this is something which is a kind of force measure for all the companies, and which customer also recognizes.
Sure, Naduji. So directionally, if I look at it, 9 months, average gross margins at around 44% odd. I'm looking at more, pigment business gross margins here.
Absolutely.
You believe directionally we will either sustain or probably improve these numbers. Will that be right?
So absolutely, Ankur sir. YTD number for the gross margin is at 44.4%. So directionally, I believe that we will be sustaining this gross margin number.
Great, sir. And last question, if I may. From a cash flow perspective, you had earlier highlighted that, you will be looking to optimize the working capital further. And given that there are no significant incremental capex plans, what's your thought on, the utilization of cash, apart from the debt repayment which may happen?
So, Anguruji, currently I have the debt of Rs. 434 crore. So it is in the short term my endeavor will be to repay that first, and as we get more cash in the system, then management may at appropriate time look at the interim dividend or maybe the dividend outflow for our stakeholders. But current focus is to deleverage the balance sheet.
Great, sir. That's it from my side. Thanks for all your answers and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Ankurji.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Archit Joshi from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, and very good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on one of the Canadian competitors that we had, I think DCL Corporation, who had to kind of shut their shops. Have we seen any benefit coming in from the perspective of market share? I think they used to do close to $35-40 million of sales. In the current scheme of things, have we seen any positive traction building up from their closure?
So this is Rajesh Radhi. First of all, sir, they've not shut down. They've shut down one of their plants. Right, and they are having financial difficulties. Their sales was also much higher, in the triple digit numbers, so it wasn't 40 million. But in general, to answer your question, they were more focused on the Americas, and we are able to, we are able to capture some of the demand, some of their demand in Americas.
Got it, sir. So that's already seen in our numbers. Would that be a fair assumption that we have been able to cater to some of that demand already?
So we've been able to cater, but I think, as I mentioned, US market had a big destocking, kind of effect where in our Q3. So the numbers there were a little bit subdued.
Got it, sir. But that should improve sequentially going ahead with demand.
Yes.
Got it. So my second question is on the Red Sea issue, not from the exports perspective, but I believe that quite a significant chunk of our RM does come from China. especially some of the key raw materials or intermediates required to manufacture high performance pigments. I think one of our global competitors is already kind of speaking of increasing the freight surcharges and trying to secure raw material as soon as possible. Would that also have some bearing on the freight cost that we might have to kind of bear the burden of because of the Red Sea issue from the import perspective?
So far, sir, we've not seen so much of issue on the import perspective. And our anticipation, at least for the next quarter, we don't see that issue. We are seeing a major hike in our export, you know, especially to Europe and US, that we continue to see.
Right, sir. So my last one, just a general rhetoric that was part of one of our investment arguments, that, you know, globally we have seen a major consolidation. Now that's already in the past, and I know that then we kind of went through, the industry entirely went through some supply shocks and COVID and geopolitical tensions. But in general, would you still believe that the consolidation of the two or three majors that has happened is rather to benefit us even going ahead, that there might have been some spillover of their products coming into our foray, wherein we have been able to benefit because, you know, two or three of our large major competitors have consolidated. I know that this may not have happened in the last few years because, like I said, for some external pressures, but going ahead, would still that be a theme that we might get some market share because of the consolidation that has already happened? So your thoughts. Thank you.
No, absolutely. I think that's a major theme. We are already seeing a good attraction because of that. And it will continue, for us to be in the market as a very good, reliable supplier, as an alternative, reliable supplier to some of these major competitors.
So, sir, and we've still seen, even in the past, sir, we have seen that play out in our favor. Would that be a fair assumption? And that we have gained market share.
Can you repeat the question? Arshit, can you repeat the question, please?
Sir, my question was, in the past also, you know, the consolidation has already happened, like I said. Have we seen that benefit accrue into our financials? Have we been able to gain market share at all? Even if by percentage point, has that, do you think that in your assumption that has played out for us in our favor?
So it's a very dynamic situation, right? So what we can tell you as trends is that the customers, you know, look for alternatives. Also, consolidation makes our competitors look more inwards rather than focus on this. There are, of course, several, you must have already heard about the external, some of our competitors are facing major concerns, issues. So, in spite of being, you know, so there are two aspects, right? One is, of course, the external environment where there's consolidation going on, there are internal issues going on with our competitors. Secondly, Sudarshan is a company who's come up with these all new products, very focused on the business. So I think both factors together, put together, I would say the extrinsic and the intrinsic, where we strengthen ourselves over the last 3-4 years, definitely helps us to place ourselves much better before the customers, and in years to come, we will definitely keep gaining more market share.
Sure, sir. Thanks for all your answers. I really appreciate this. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Dhoot from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Hi, team. Congratulations on a good set of numbers, especially in the core pigments business. So my first question is, you know, you've highlighted about deeper penetration in select international geographies in the presentation. So if you could provide some more details in terms of which geographies, which end applications, you know, are these. So we got associated with the BASF's distribution. Is this beginning to take shape?
Okay.
Hi, Mr. Nilkanth here. So when we are talking about deeper penetration in the international geography, as mentioned earlier, we are getting a good traction in the Japan market as well as the Korea market, and also few other geographies wherein we are trying our sales force, wherein we are getting a good traction.
So we are spending ourselves in South America.
South America also. And in terms of our engagement with the BTC, the BSF distribution arm, so currently this engagement is there, and we are seeing a gradual ramp up and progress there.
Right. And so we've still not seen the complete benefit of the engagement because, products do take longer to see. We are hoping next financial year we are able to see this benefit of this cooperation.
Right. Sir, and if you could, share your overall capacity utilization, the ballpark number would be good. So just trying to understand that we are currently at 13.2% EBITDA margins in the pigment business, while a large part of the capex is still to be absorbed. So where do you see these margins progressing to in a couple of years as the capacities get absorbed? So I do understand that this is also a function of the RM prices, but say we assume constant prices in this period, where could the product mix change and the operating leverage take us to in terms of EBITDA margins? So any indications there would be helpful.
So Nitesh Nilkanth here. So as a management, we also guided earlier that capacity utilization, we are not right now publishing the data. But with regards to your question in terms of the EBITDA improvement, so if you really see the current EBITDA, percentage is at 12.7% YTD number compared to the 8.1% of the last year. Structurally, if I see our company's performance going forward, the two levers which we mentioned earlier and which we believe will drive the growth, one is a specialty and second is the export market. Given the new capex which is commissioned and majority of the products are in the high performance or specialty pigment side, we believe that we will see the uptick in the EBITDA margin. Our highest EBITDA margin, which was around 15% in 21. So structurally and directionally, I can see over a period, we should scale back to that level. And then once the utilization ramp up benefit will come in, we should see northward of that particular percentage. So directionally, this year, if I see the performance, we are scaling back to our original, run rate. And as we go along and see the demand improvement as well as the new capex, commercialization, it should directionally give us the EBITDA margin on a higher side.
Sure, sir. This is helpful. So just one last small bookkeeping one before I join back the queue. So how much is the gross debt currently? So how much of a reduction have we we've seen sequentially from around 622 crores reported at the end of Q2.
So Nitesh, as mentioned, our net debt number for Q3 is 434 crore. Versus 946 crore of the last year Q3, and sequentially if I see the 445 crore in Q2 FY24.
Alright sir, thank you so much for answering the questions. All the best.
Thank you, Nitesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep from LKP Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. So, I wanted some guidance from you in terms of your specialty and non-specialty. So can you give us what would be the major difference between both these, majorly consisting the high performance pigment specialty and can you provide us some difference and some guidance on that?
So as the specialty and non-specialty mainly is the complete commodity products, where most of our commodity products, where we are not able to have, I would say, sustained customer engagement sales. People are able to quickly switch because of pricing. That's the major. And the specialty products are more towards higher end applications and products which are more sticky with the customers.
Okay, so can we say that the specialty products are majorly like customized kind of products which are having a customized requirement from customer side? Can we conclude that?
No, it's not customized, but it's mainly, it's higher end applications, products which are, products which probably do not have that intense competition.
Okay. And in terms of outlook for the quarter, so generally Q4 is the one of your best quarters in terms of see the past number. So can we expect the next quarter to be around similar levels? Are we expecting a good spillover effect or the lag effect in the Q4 as well?
Hi. So as you rightly mentioned, we believe that we will continue the current momentum, and we as a management are bullish on the Q4 numbers. Given the current demand scenario, as mentioned, the India demand seems good, the coating destocking effect is over, we see the good demand in the plastic, and similar trend we expect in the export market, subject to the geopolitical situation though. In a nutshell, we expect to keep the momentum continuing for Q4 also.
Okay. So just last question, can you give breakup of your brands in coating things, plastics and automotive or cosmetics, provide any breakup of these verticals?
So sir, currently we are not publishing these numbers and we are internally reviewing this. Maybe going forward we will look at which kind of data set further release can be possible, and then we will connect back to you.
Okay. Just generally coatings is the higher in terms of as far as industry, more than 50% is coating, almost 50%. So can we also gauge for Sudarshan that coatings would be the highest in terms of your verticals?
For us, our strong area is plastics. So, though the market size of plastics is lower, our sales in coatings is number one, but the difference between coatings and plastics is much narrower for us. Then would be printing inks and then cosmetics in the rank.
Okay. Thanks for answering. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Dhruv Mushal from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Sir. Thank you so much. Sir, the last time when the sea freights had increased, our export market was a bit impacted because the local players probably in Europe and US had become more competitive. So we are seeing that same trend now, but do you think the implication can be a bit different this time?
I think the question is on 2-3 areas. One is obviously they're also majorly impacted. All their raw materials comes through the Red Sea, so they're majorly impacted due to that. So the impact I feel this time will not be there from a perspective of being competitive because of logistics.
Okay. Sure. And secondly, if I look at the other expenses in the pigment segment, the gross profit minus the EBITDA, the absolute other expenses are increasing, say, if I compare it versus 3Q of 22. They have increased despite broadly similar sales. And this, I would assume, is despite the fact that the power and fuel cost for you would have declined, and in the base quarter, that is 3Q 22, your freight cost would also be significantly higher. So just trying to understand what's driving this cost increase.
Dhruv, if you are comparing this with the last year Q3, correct?
No, so 3Q22, that is 1 year, I mean 2 years back. I thought last year was very weak, so but 3Q22, when you had the worst of freight cost, worst of probably the fuel and power and fuel cost, so.
Dhruv, it is also the impact of the volume, correct? So the kind of realization which we are seeing right now versus the past 2 years trend, wherein we have seen the inflationary pressure there and the price pass-through. So currently we are seeing the volume scale up compared to those particular period, and which will definitely have impact in our other expenses also.
So basically the volumes are significantly better, but
Yes.
the revenue is lower because of the realization impact.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So some sense you can give what how has the realization declined over 1-2 years on a per kg or percentage?
Dhruv, this is indirectly getting back to the volume question. Since we are not declaring the volume, we'll not be able to give you the exact number, but you have seen the inflationary trend, which has been at the higher end of 8-10% over last 2 years period. Based on that, you will be able to see the impact.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, and all the best. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Dhruv.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhav Marda from Fidelity International. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Sorry, sir, we are
Hello?
unable to hear. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, Madhav, you are.
So my first question was just on the supply side landscape. I think last couple of quarters we've been speaking about some disruption at in like some of the larger competitors in Canada and Europe. So just any update there in terms of are we beginning to see some market share shift happening from those vendors or any sort of opportunities coming up on the sort of product side?
So Madhavji, I think as I mentioned, we continue to see good tailwinds for us from an external perspective of the competitive landscape. And the engagement with customers increases because of these tailwinds. And given that our stronger product portfolio, there is more reason for our customers to talk with us, engage with us more.
Understood. Understood. Got it. Got it. And in terms of the newer products which we have, the new portfolio which we have commercialized in the last 1 or 2 years, basically how much higher is the gross margin profile for these newer SKUs versus our say the pre-FY19 or 18 portfolio which we had? If you could share some outlook there, that will be helpful.
So, sir, I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag, right? Because our volume utilization, as you may realize, is low, and we also, initially we went through some, as we were commercializing the CapExes, or we went through some of the tiering problems. So we've not fully realized the full potential there of the gross margin. As we mentioned, the whole idea of getting into these product lines was having improved margins. So this side of the product line should give us a better margin, sir, in the future years.
Got it. Got it. Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Madhav.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good set of numbers. So first question is in terms of the customer engagement that we are having after the start of 2024. How are we perceiving them in terms of outlook for their businesses and probably giving us some firm commitments in terms of orders? So last couple of years have been completely in turmoil. But now is there a greater sense of confidence and probably the same is percolated to us in terms of some firm commitments on a quarterly or yearly volume basis? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Very good question, sir. This is Rajesh Rathi. I think demand is a mixed bag, right? So if you look at India, We are hoping that the destocking of coatings is over and we should be able to see good demand now going forward from coatings. Plastics, we've already, you know, the demand was very good and we are hoping that the plastic demand will continue in India. So that's the India story. If you look at the global scenarios, you know, Europe demand is still subdued. Q3 in US had a big destocking effect, which, you know, the supply chain should be dried up and we expect that our Q4, we should see better demand in US. Middle East, Africa, we have a very strong position, but I think a couple of countries where there are, you know, either, you know, issues from a currency perspective, etc., that's kind of, you know, has a damper on our demand. Though the demand is there, we are not able to service some of that demand.
Right. Got it, sir. So second question, in terms of the cost increase because of freight rate increases, would this be a transitory in nature that in Q4 probably we will have to take a hit before the prices are increased and that effect of freight cost increase will be nullified in subsequent quarters? Just your perspective on this.
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, so the freight cost increase because of the Red Sea issue on the exports front or even from the raw materials front. So just to get a perspective, whether we will have to absorb these costs for the time being, it is a transitory in nature. And then further in coming quarter, the customers will, you know, give us the price increases and that impact will be nullified.
So, sir, I think what we are planning, what we are doing right now is as far as possible, we are pushing the cost increases because there's a very transparent cost increase, right? Everyone is aware of this, right? There are few areas which we are not able to pass on the complete increases. That's the area we will seek, you know, further looking at this, but we don't expect material impact on the margins.
Sure. And just one last clarification on RICO. In terms of management bandwidth, how much of our energy is invested on RICO and whether there will be a further thought on to divest RICO as we had indicated probably a few years ago? Thank you.
So, sir, the endeavor has been that we should not defocus from our growth business of pigments. So I think our bandwidth, so the company is very well independently managed. However, from, you know, the board has given us a direction that the growth has to be profitable and our focus and drive of Sudhar, you know, the overall corporate management now will be to help them, guide them towards profitable growth, right? So we will not get distracted from our pigment business, but help RICO reach a respectable, profitable numbers.
Thank you so much for answering all the questions and the best of luck, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Rohit.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Shah from Capital PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations to the management for a good set. So my question was more on the specialty side that, you know, how is the whole generation of new products happening? Is it like we are pushing new products or is it like the customers are telling us that what is their need? Because why I ask this is we've seen that a lot of our peers, especially the one called Heubach, is also moving towards specialty and high performance pigments. And this move is seen globally, that people are going up the value chain. So I want to know two things. One, how does the ideation and, you know, commission happen? And second is, what would give Sudarshan the right to win if the space gets, you know, very competitive?
Excellent question, sir. I think, first of all, Heubach, with the Heubach and Clariant's merger, Clariant already had the existing portfolio. So I see the market differently because their portfolio, they're not transforming, right? It's because of the merger, that's what the portfolio is, right? This is Sudarshan case. We have created this new portfolio. I think the market is looking for a good, reliable supplier other than the traditionals, right? I would now classify Heubach into a, you know, since you said Heubach, they are one of the traditionals because Clariant and Heubach has combined their business, right? So we do become a good alternative given a very broad portfolio, broad, competitive in terms of quality, in terms of value to the customers.
Okay. And if you could throw some light on how the ideation generally happens, is it like constantly R&D from our end, or is it like even the clients are asking us some for value add or a functional strength?
No, that's a good question. So what happens is we had a, you know, 3-4 years ago when we launched, we already had done a good market survey. We had a good engagement with customers, identified the products, and we've introduced those products, right? Now, we do engage with key accounts, and there are times when with key accounts, some of our products do not work to the expectations, and then you come back to the lab, you modify the product and go back to them. So it's a dual approach. There is a mass market where you go and you launch the product, right? And there are few key accounts where the volume justify, you would customize the product for them because they do have a little bit of a different requirement.
Got it. Understood, sir. So just last question. Throughout the call, I could figure out that the management focuses more on coatings, inks and plastics. I just wanted to ask from the management, is it that the paint industry is a lesser focus for us? Because, I mean, given the way the country is India and the real estate tailwinds that we are seeing, is the management not planning to focus on paints as an industry?
I'm sorry to use, you know, our jargon sometimes, but coatings is paints. So paints, so coatings and paints is used interchangeably. So our focus, sir, is paints, plastics, cosmetics, and printing inks. All four industries we drive. Of course, we choose segments in each of them where we should grow and drive.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That's all from my side. All the best for the future.
Thank you, Yash.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Proline, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, sir, for taking my question. I have a few questions. The first one is on your specialty and non-specialty mix. Could you help me understand either in terms of your capacity, in terms of gross block, how much is the gross block which is dedicated to specialty, how much is for non-specialty? Or once all our CAPEX comes on stream and is optimally utilized, what could the sales mix look like?
Hi, Nilkant here. So on the split between the specialty and non-specialty, we have been in the range of around 66-67% on the specialty side, 33-34% on the non-specialty side. While we don't publish the gross block separately for specialty and non-specialty, what we had also guided the market earlier that the new CapEx which has been commissioned is more towards the specialty side. And once we get the full scale up, I see the specialty, you know, a specialty pigment as a proportion in our entire cell will move towards you know, the higher number, maybe a couple of basis points higher than what we had. To current 66-67%, we will see the move upward once we get the full benefit of the CapEx, you know, commercialization.
Thank you. As that was the last question, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you, Nitesh Dhoot from Dolat Capital, and thank you participants for your time and interest in Sudarshan Chemical. We remain confident in the long-term prospect of our business, and we look forward to engaging with you again in future. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Dolat Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.